Today's episode is brought to you by Live Forever Golf. If you like living forever and you like golf, then you're going to love Live Forever Golf. Enter discount code LFG20 for 20% off your next order.
Live Forever Golf, for the player, not the game.
We've heard, Josh, we've heard Masters tickets are like way up there this year.
Yeah. I've gotten at least a dozen texts from locals and people asking, and they want weird stuff. And I'm like, guys, I don't even have badges. I'm just going like, up there. But it's gotten so crazy.
One ticket for Thursday, an Australian buddy who lives in 2,400.
What? He's up to 2,400.
Thursday, 2,400 a ticket?
Yeah. That was through.
It's just a regular old grounds.
Break one ticket.
What does that come?
You get on all the what's names. They're more than that. They're
even more than that because then they add taxes and service fees and everything. So but Monday pay, grounds is up to like $1,200.
Bring it in.
I love it.
Went for my first ever ruck.
Rock?
Ruck. You know, that is where you put like the weighted vest on and go for a walk or a jog.
Oh my gosh. Sounds like military stuff, right?
Trying to
there.
Lose weight. Yeah, I didn't really like it.
you don't have to do that.
Do sprints.
Right? I can't run anymore. My back's shot.
Lazy people say.
Well, no, but seriously. Well, hello, friends and enemies, I guess. Welcome to a special edition of a straight down the middle-ish, a Masters edition. Little preview here. We are decked out in our Masters gear. Well, some of us are, but a new regular contributor to the show, Josh Chang, joins us. Again, thanks for coming in, Chad.
Yeah, Josh, thanks, dude.
Appreciate you. It was fun.
Yeah.
I'm glad I could run it back. This time.
When I think Greg greased up those legs for us this morning, too, for the shot.
You know, when I do think Masters, I think Josh Chang nowadays. You've got quite the collection going on here. Thanks for bringing in the...
look at this right here.
We've got a Lego clubhouse. You can't see this, obviously, on the radio, but...
I'm guessing Lego didn't offer
is
that.
Is this licensed?
No, absolutely not. So that kind of is like, that was the beginning of this whole breaking down the wall, becoming a
collector.
No, we were collectors before that, but that kind of like got my access to
golf aficionado
going every single year. Met some guys. Yeah.
It's a weird story. You go to Augusta every year?
It always starts off where I go. There's a guy in Aiken. Yeah. He rents a house. I'm always going to get a room. Usually it's like a single bed and a 12-year-old's bedroom. The family rents it out. I go spend $700 or $800 for the week from Saturday onwa through Championship Sunday.
Yeah.
And so I've got a place just to post
wow.
up.
You're headed
and
up
then
on.
I'm just up there. And wait. If badges come up, they come up.
Okay,
I
so
never
you go
know.
Up flying blind, basically. No tickets, but something always shakes free.
I mean, just...
Yeah, usually.
Just put yourself there and you kind of just...
We get around this... corporate host, they've always got a few extra tickets in their pockets.
Something shakes out. 90% of success is just showing up there.
I mean, you never know, because there's been years when I've gotten in 4 times, and then there's been years I've gotten in 1.5 times.
Yeah.
You know, stuff will come up at like 2 p.m.
What kind of relationships do you have with the guys in the field this year? Maybe some practice round tickets or something?
Oh, this
Zach Blair in?
No, I don't. I've never gotten.
I would give you a ticket.
Badges
if I was in.
But
100%. Those guys get 12. Come on.
They get 12.
They get eight, and then they can buy four
more. And they all do.
But let me tell you something. You're definitely worth like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Josh, I got you. You know?
It's one of those things I don't like to ask, though, because I've been there so many times. Well, and I never take. You know,
because you have some self-awareness. I mean, it's nice of you not to ask, but
been there enough, and you appreciate it. You never take it for granted, and every time you go through those gates, you still like look around. You're passing the practice area, and you're getting ready to go shopping. And there's like a whole.
I never
list
got
in
my
ticket.
I was going to get. I'm going to do my. I think I'm going to
class that week.
I got to do some real estate stuff that week. But I did have a Tuesday, Wednesday ticket. Well, I didn't physically get them, but I was promised them. So. Always seems to be a plane going up there.
Matty Kelly wants me to go up there with Liam. Matty Kelly's for Mark Leishman. Anyways, he's like, I'm taking Bo up there. we're going to Wednesday. He goes, Cam will have tickets for us. He's basically saying we're good to go. If you want to bring Liam up there for Wednesday. He's just not that jazzed up about golf, I don't think.
Matty, have you ever been to Augusta for...
Like not playing?
Or not playing.
I think I went... Yes. Yeah, I went a practice round when I was a kid.
Did you guys ever play Augusta States tournament?
No, we never played it.
We played it all 4 years.
Yeah.
But one year we couldn't go because it got rained out. The Monday was full washed out. So it might have been my second or third year in college. But, you know, some of those kids had never been. I think Toshi or someone. And it was like fucking devastating.
I bet.
Because you get the Monday ticket and they didn't open the gates until 2 p.m. And, you know, we were always out of there by then because we had to be at school.
Well, I love this this dynamic here. You got two fans and then two guys that played on tour. I mean, what a different experience, though.
I definitely have not played it, though.
That the player has that week versus the patron. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about, I mean, we've talked about it in the past, but since Masters Week, I mean, what's that whole week layout like?
It's super cool. It's weird. Everyone's different. Like when your first time in, I can only speak on my first time, but my first time I won like 3 weeks before. So it was things happened very fast for me. And, you know, renting houses, everyone wants to come to this event. And it's the
first few years,
but it's
time.
Also, it's a balance. It's like, damn it, I'm playing some of the best golf of my life. I'm used to just doing my own thing every week. And now the biggest event that I'm ever going to play in. I got to this sounds so selfish saying this, by the way.
I'm well aware this sounds terrible,
but there are certain things where you just don't deal with those things on a week to week basis until you run into situations like this or maybe a U.S. Open or something like that. Unless you're an elite guy, elite, and you're doing this every year, maybe. But
and you got
I would say, like, not to discount, but you're in between the guys who are top 10 in the world. They don't deal with it because they have their agent. They have two houses. I think Cam might have run into that. Oh, hey, we need to get two houses because I can't be in a house where, you know, a lot of people coming over from Australia or wherever, friends from California, it's not just him. You know, they're there, and it is an enticing place to get fucking boozed because booze is cheap and everyone's on a holiday and you're trying to compete on the top four biggest stages of all time.
It's not a holiday for you at all.
It just adds to the stress.
I remember after my second...
I can imagine.
My second year, I remember telling myself, like, God damn it, next time I'm showing up Tuesday afternoon by myself. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's what I would do normally.
Well, I think some guys should do that. They haven't had success. I think they'll get there too early.
And I also, 100%, you're so jazzed up to play there naturally. It's Augusta, right? And regardless if you're on tour or not, you'd be so excited to play.
But
that
your
place.
Practice rounds are way more stressful.
For most. I just think they're almost meaningless. I mean, the pins are in the middle of the greens in those practice rounds. The greens are probably they're more receptive than they're going to be the rest of the week. Obviously, you can place pins and chip to different spots, but you can't simulate those situations in a practice round, especially if you've never played there before. I think they're wildly overrated across the board on tour, not just that week.
Mm-hmm.
But
for most, some people, I think
once you see a place a couple times, I think they're wildly overrated. But there's a ton of good that comes in that week too, though, man. I mean, it's super cool to be able to give those experiences to your family and friends.
Yeah.
Is very rewarding. And then
what about the par three? Did you play in that both?
I played with Billy and my college coach, actually Buddy Alexander. They changed this rule since, but it used to be if you won the USAM and you never turned pro, you could play practice rounds and the par three at Augusta.
I love that,
which is pretty cool. I mean, Buddy was playing practice rounds at Augusta on Tuesdays. Like,
how cool is that?
In the early 2000s, still. I mean,
yeah, I saw him play.
Yeah.
When you
what a anyways, nod to the amateurs.
This it really that. Was, and then they got nipped in the butt because, you know.
Buddy was showing up.
Tiger.
Somebody started complaining. Whatever.
Yeah.
Billy probably.
But one of the coolest things, a couple things in that par three that were neat. Obviously, like Liam walking around was fun.
I mean, yeah, you got that pick. For
he's
the
got
rest
a broke. He broke
That's
his
so
arm
cool.
right before it too. Like 2 weeks before, so he had a cast on. That was a green cast on. That was cute. But I got to play with Billy and Buddy. Buddy was a nervous wreck. I mean, a nervous wreck. And have you been to the par three?
Yeah, I've gone a couple times.
Okay, so you know how the galleries
are.
Buddy
needs that aiming.
Tight. Yes,
it's
they're like tight. On the green. Move. The galleries are like on the green there.
Buddy should have done the usual and just, you know, afternoon golf, a couple of beers.
Well, he might have moved the afternoon up a little bit. But anyways.
That takes care of the nerves.
Yeah. We get on one, and he's a wreck. And I'm fine. Billy's obviously fine. And Buddy's also super competitive, and he hits it in the crowd on one. And he had mentioned something to us, like, I just don't want to kill anybody today, you know, whatever. And he hits it in the crowd on one, makes five, just makes a total mess of it. Tyson is caddying for Buddy. He's there. We're having a blast.
Grinning,
right?
Just
ear to ear. It's all fine. Uh-huh. We get on two, and it's like an 80-yard par three. And Buddy, like, catches this thing a groove low. But it worked out perfect, and it one hops like 10 feet short, and this trickles in like a putt for a one.
Oh,
and that was so was so cool, man. I mean, he got to do it with his son on the bag, which had to be an all-time moment for Buddy, and just to be a part of that was, it still gives me chills. The next hole, Josh, so you get a crystal if you make a hole in one or are closest to the pin on that hole in the competition. The very next hole, downhill par three, I like rip this wedge about 20 feet past it, and it just comes, I mean, it was ripping back at it, and it nails the pin, sits on the lip of the cup. The last guy to play that hole that day, Matt Jones, made a hole in one. Beat me close to the pin. Bastard.
What a shithead.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Your old neighbor.
Yeah. So our parents still live in the same house.
So Josh, really? you go up on Saturday, you're gonna go watch Amwa.
Oh, let's hear about this.
It's tough. This
How far
year,
do they move the tees up?
No idea what's going to happen on them. Because this year it's on the calendar, but it just depends on what my kids have sports-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm planning to try to stay the whole week. So got to figure out who's dropping the kids off, who's getting people around. Just also depends on dinner.
Dropping the kids
off. Reservation.
Cool.
So.
Have you been to the AMWA yet?
Yeah, my favorite time was when local Austin Kim, she was playing in it. She was, I think, top five going into Augusta National. So went up there, followed her for half the day. That was probably 2 years ago before she went pro.
You could be our women's golf analyst. Absolutely. On this podcast. There's room for that.
Feed us some talent. Like, who can we invest in the future?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just go up and start winging it after dinner. Frog Hollow, probably Saturday night, depending on what time I can get there. And then hope stuff shakes out for Monday. The last few years, last 4 or 5 years, has been Berkman's, which is unreal. I'll do that on Monday, and then
I just need to tail you.
I'll take my clubs and we'll stick them in the trunk. Never make plans in tee times because you don't want something to come up and then
where
you
have
to bail.
Where do you play up there?
Last year was Tree Farm. This year could be the new Old Barnwell.
Okay,
could be good. Tree Farm.
Oh yeah, I've heard about that Old Barnwell.
So I think that just opened about a year ago.
Yep.
With that in Tree Farm. So. We'll take the clubs and see what happens, and then
Sage Valley. There's always a bunch of shit going on.
You know,
Valley.
I my experience before Augusta, when I was a kid, I was probably like 12 or 13. My dad and then my buddy Major Manning, and his dad Russ Manning, we went up and we stayed at the state park. Was it? And it had like this. It was a ton of elevation change.
The logo's a turtle.
I don't know what's it called. It's something state park, but it was badass, dude. This golf. At the time,
is it called Little Okmulgee?
No, at the time, I think it was in South Carolina, and at the time, the golf, like the elevation, I'd never seen anything like it, and I was young, and I remember being like, "This is the sickest ever. I don't even want to go to Augusta tomorrow. I want to play here tomorrow," you know. And it's just some beauty on the lake. It's a pretty cool spot. I wonder if it's Victoria. Damn, this is gonna piss me off.
We'll Google it later.
All right,
but let's get to the Masters collection that you have, and the origin of this Lego clubhouse. And I follow you on Instagram, so I see what you do that week and some of the places you visit. You go into some of these like antique shops or like secondhand stores that are selling. I mean, think about all the crap that the whole city of Augusta has accumulated over. The entire time of the Masters, and like somebody dies, that's going to this shop. What all?
So it's kind of nuts how that whole collecting dynamic happen. I've been going since 2008, really got into what can I buy that they don't sell on property.
Yeah.
Because I always want something different than what everyone else is wearing or has. Mm-hmm. We go to the Hooters after the practice round, and I see the signs, golf memorabilia. It's probably 2015. And I've been going to that same antique store for a while. But this year I drive up. We get done. We always go there afterwards, go have a couple beers, go see John Daly. Well, I see the thing. It's about 3 o'clock. I walk in, and I see the Lego clubhouse in the front display. And I had seen it in years past in, like, a UK publication. So I go up there. I ask, is that Lego house for sale? Owner's like, yeah.
Everything's for sale.
How much is it?
Yeah, right.
I got to look at the price tag. Price tag's still on there. I hid the price tag from my wife for quite a few years. It's like $1,800. I think I get them down to like $1,600. And that right there, when I met the, was kind of the beginning, because then I met this, like, my Augusta family.
Yeah.
And the dynamic is so weird.
If he's willing to buy this.
I'm aware of how things work up there.
It's so weird. It's like this guy. It's like the ringleader. His name's Byron.
We're not going to narc anyone out.
He used to be a rep for TaylorMade and Bobby Grace on tour. Okay. And then he became a watch dealer. He has his antique booth. It was called Trends and Traditions. Everything
literally sounds like every person I've ever met from Augusta, Georgia.
Is it there or just for the week? Is it there permanently?
It's there permanently. So anytime someone says, hey, I'm in Augusta, tries to get through the front gate, Augusta National says, sorry, you can't go to the pro shop. But there's this little antique shop down the street. It's called Trends and Traditions or Uptown Marketplace. There's three or four big ones. And then so I go buy this Lego house, and then I meet Byron. I'd kind of known him for the last couple years. Next thing I know, I meet his other buddy, James from Ohio, and then the guy who designed the clubhouse out of Legos. He's an architect from Atlanta named Andy Duckett. Completely different guys, completely different personalities, all very unique. Next thing I know, I'm in there, I'm buying it. I get to meet him, and he goes, what are you doing Wednesday or Sunday? I'm like, what do you mean, what am I doing? This guy named James. He goes, well, what would you do? What would you trade for a couple trophy room badges? I'm like, well, that's probably out of my realm. Yeah. You know, I'm just good with grounds. He goes, no, really, what would you trade? Throws out a number, and I'm thinking, golly, he's not very aware of what's going on. Yeah. So I said, okay.
He goes,
here's the deal. You're going to meet me here. I'm going to get you these badges. I could tell you the story. He got them from Arnie's urologist, Dr. Trapp. Rest in peace, Dr. Trapp and Arnie. So then I go and meet him, and he goes, well, you know, who you take it? I said, you're coming with me. I don't know what the hell to do with these trophy room badges.
Yeah.
What's a trophy room badge?
Fish out of water.
Clubhouse.
It's like a higher end badge.
Inside, under the trees.
So I meet him
inside
up.
Inside the white.
He's kind of shocked that under I'm going to take him. He's shocked that I'm going to take him. He's like, why wouldn't you take your dad or your friend? I'm like, because I don't know what to do with these badges. You're coming with me.
What year is this?
2015. So the whole time. There. 5 years. I've been going 6 years, and I'm like, I wonder what it's like to walk through that member pro shop and open the door. Yeah. Anyway, we park, and we walk in, and it's like going behind the scenes of Disney World. You're on the other side of the gates, and everything's like a completely different world than on the course. We walk in through this door. I have no idea what's going on, and I'm past these clubs on the wall, and we walk inside, and I'm like, I'm in the member pro shop. We just went through the wrong door. I didn't know where he was taking me, so we get back in the pro shop. It was like Disney World.
Yeah.
Did you raid that pro shop?
Could you buy anything out of that?
Yeah. Well, when I had trophy room.
So that's the pro. Yeah, yeah. So when we would go up and play, like the first time I went there, I played with Jonas. We flew up, and I got to go into that pro shop. And what is it? Augusta. It says Augusta National.
Yeah, everything's A-N-G-C. Special logo. ANGC.
Jonas
logo.
Just texted me asking about kitchen appliances.
Oh, wow. How about that? Saw Jonas the other night.
He's back.
He's back, dude. There was an epic. Let's finish this.
Yes.
And so anyway, it was just weird. So then we go and I buy my stuff. You ship it back. And they have the special logo, you know, Berkman's logo, the ANGC logo. They usually take the ANGC stuff out of the member pro shop for Masters Week,
right?
Mm-hmm. With the exception of the couple days before that players get to go.
Speaking
with their
of caddy. Collecting, and I would be shocked if you hadn't heard of this. Both years I played, Scotty Cameron would release And then they sold them in that pro shop when we were up there, like that year's Augusta model.
There you go. For
the big old green box. Yep.
Yes, massive green box. I got two of them in my closet right now. They're still fantastic. Still in the plastic. Jonas bought them too. That's why I bought them, because Jonas bought them. I'm like, should I buy that? He goes, yeah, you should buy one of these. I was like, all right.
They were heaps, I think. Speaking of memorabilia, I still am missing the one gnome. So Cam has all the gnomes.
Which gnome?
I got to find out the year. I put it on Twitter.
Was it the plaid vest?
Is this not Scotty the Cameron
year?
Thing?
It might be the second year.
I got it at the house.
I need to buy it.
Of course. Is it the one in the cat? He goes.
Wait, what are the gnomes?
The green. What is the gnome?
The little garden gnome that.
It's all the rage.
Is it Scotty Cameron?
Garden gnomes of Augusta. There's a different theme every year. So Cam has them on his front door, but one year he forgot to get it.
Oh, okay.
So I was trying to. Yeah, he's a hard guy to buy for. He's impulsive. He buys everything.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, the gnomes.
So, right,
curious which one it is. Because it's the first one was the green plaid. Then it was the...
What year did they start doing this?
2018. Master's badge, or it's the...
I don't know. I'll have to look.
We've heard Master's tickets are like way up there this year.
Yeah. I've gotten at least a dozen texts from locals and people asking, and they want weird stuff. And I'm like, guys, I don't even have badges. I'm just going up there. But it's gotten so crazy.
One ticket for Thursday, an Australian buddy who lives in 2,400.
What?
He's up to 2,400.
Thursday, 2,400 a ticket?
Yeah. That was through.
It's just a regular old grounds.
Break one ticket.
What does that come?
You get on all the what's names. They're more than that.
They're even more than that, because then they add taxes and service fees and everything. So but Monday is up to like $1,200.
Abe answers, Katie Benji. You know, he used to do tickets and houses. He doesn't do anymore. But
yeah, sure he doesn't.
he's like the busy mechanic. You know. You know, I'm pretty busy. And they just charge triple, and if you're willing to take it, they just push all the other jobs out.
That's an interesting market. You know.
But I got nothing against it. People
me either.
Play.
Are you kidding me? If you're a player, let's just say this.
It's insane.
If you're a player and you have your wife and kids, all right, and no extended, like your extended family doesn't live here, okay? Like no brothers, sisters, moms, dads, aunts, uncles are coming. So you have 8 badges, okay? 8. Your wife and kids are already taken care of, okay? So I believe it's like their tour credentials that week.
Yeah,
are good. Okay,
yes, wife, not dads, but wife.
Yes,
kids.
Right. So you have 8, and then you can buy 4 more at cost. Okay, not $3,000 a day.
Like, what's cost? Like $150 or something.
Yeah, nothing. All right. So you could make at $3,000 a day. What is a weekly badge selling for right now?
So I know Thursday through, because we're friends.
Thursday through
Sunday, $7,000 to the wholesale.
Really.
Yeah, so you add a few more.
So
for
you could do You can make 70 to 80 grand selling your tickets next week. Cash.
Everyone's just so scared walking on eggshells, though, because the second someone gets booted for drinking too much or yelling,
and they scan your ticket,
doing whatever, or even people. What I've heard through the grapevine last year was people who were the resellers buying everything from the Peter Millar wall and buying all this extra stuff. I don't know who was doing that, but they'll ask for the number, ask who the guy is. They know who you are the second you start checking out. They know
CIA up
and
there.
So they're over there trying to figure out.
I'm not stepping foot on that property unless I'm
put
playing.
A stop to a lot of that stuff. So everybody's, you know, worried with badges issued to them. You know, you don't do anything. You can't even sell the stuff.
Gosh, and some people pay off their homes just renting them out.
Well, they've got the Augusta tax. Where you can't get you rent your house out that week, Masters week. You don't pay taxes on the. Profits.
So. That's fantastic.
We don't. It's a federal law. Under 14 days, you don't pay. You have to pay sales tax, but you don't pay income tax. So say they rent it for 10 days. Say someone will stay over, and it's $50,000. You don't pay any income tax under 14 days.
Yeah, I was checking hotels in Aiken. They're like $800.
Motel 6.
Unbelievable.
Gross.
Right.
Don't stay at hotels with colors or numbers. That's my tip.
That's what's so hard about trying to plan a Masters trip. When people start asking, they're like, "Hey, I'm from California. I want to come in. I want to do this, this, and this." I'm like, "Cool." They're like, "Well, what do you think it's going to run me?" I mean, probably 20 grand to do it right for you and a buddy and
20 grand,
to do all that.
Let's go to Columbia instead.
Not South Carolina. Not the one that an hour up the road.
Well, let's dig into the actual playing of the event here.
Yes.
We got the odd sheets here in front of us, so Scotty has been just on fire.
I mean, 5-1 favorite. That's a tiger.
Unbackable. I wouldn't back him at that.
That is.
I'm with you. I wouldn't. It's not. There's no.
Kepka looks nice at 20. Kepka's looking nice.
What kind of form? Obviously, he's going to be in good form. He's gearing up for this.
But there's no place in the world like Augusta that even if you're out of form, like the guys who are like even the older guys would come back and play well. That there's something about comfortability. You know, it's weird. So I think Kepka's going to play well there every year.
All right.
You can hit it anywhere, too. You can be out of shape and round into form.
He's just going to make himself play well. He's just not going to...
I'm kind of with you on that, Pricey. You guys want to go... Do you have the sheet in front of you?
I do not. Oh, yeah.
Let's go... let's pick one. Okay. One... We'll pick one each. One long shot, one middle of the road. Okay, middle of the road. One, a favorite has to be, we'll say...
It's a top 10 in the
30-1 or less. So Justin Thomas and up would be a favorite on this list, okay?
I'll take Kepka out of that column.
And then the rest, you know, you can take two of the rest.
I like the next two, Cam Smith and Matsuyama. Mm. Again, I go with that theory. If they've played well there in the past, they're going to continue to play well there.
Yeah.
If I'm going favorite and not picking Scotty, I'm going to go Hovland.
Mm. Oh, he's way out of form,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that, but I like that you picked it. We were just talking about it. I don't like the pick, but I like that you picked it.
He's a mess right now.
Well, isn't that a great place when you are a mess?
Maybe. I think it is a good reset that your practice rounds aren't your normal practice rounds. You're looking around. You know, it's a bit more stressful, but it can definitely change... Flip the script, so I don't mind that theory.
Come on, you guys aren't taking Rory for the Disney story tale?
Oh, right.
I gotta go Rory, just because I hear you.
Nothing wrong with that.
I hear you there. It just feels like there's too much noise right now for Rory.
There's always some back markers that do well. Adrian Maronk.
I'm with Pricey. My favorite here that jumps out to me that I would bet is not even in the top. I like Hideki this week at 31-1.
A lot of people like
him. He's in great form this year. He's doesn't make shit and finishes in the top 10 at pretty much every week. I could be way off on those numbers too, by the way.
You do get some nice odds from the back markers at Augusta. So
I don't mind Hideki here. If we run down the list, Finau doesn't do anything for me. Homa, no. Jay Day at 46-1. I kind of like him around here. I think Augusta favors good shallow chippers of the ball. I know Spieth won here. He's the leading edge. But for the most part, these guys that have a very predictable strike at the bottom, like a Jay Day, do well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jonas went well a couple of times.
Yeah, Jonas Kuchar always plays well here, very shallow chipper.
What about a Harmon?
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't surprise me at all.
Does, right? Not the correct shot shape.
Right.
It's hard, left-handed drawer is different from a right-handed fader.
He's a left-handed drawer.
Can we... try and explain that?
Yes. So this course sets up... Okay, yes. So if you're a big hitter of the ball, it is a lot easier to control
a
big fade than a big draw.
So a left-handed fader is ultimate. Bubba Watson, yes. Phil Mickelson, it's the ultimate course because a fade you can control and stops quicker. Like a draw or a hook will hits around and tumbles more than a fade does.
It's also the whole release, part of a big hook.
But I ain't writing Harmon off. That guy's a bulldog.
Yeah, same. I'm not
right. But Chris Kirk hits it right to left, and he's just taken 3 weeks off, which was different. He didn't play San Antonio, which I've caddied for him there, and that is the most tailor-made golf course for Chris Kirk. We've joked about that there's no way Kirk doesn't win San Antonio 1 year. It's just he doesn't even play good, and he's always like 10th, 15th.
That course...
But the fact that he took 3 weeks off, I love when people take events off that they know they could play well at. So... I think Kirk will play well. But it's hard. You know, he lives an hour down the street at Athens, and there's people. So what Matt was talking about.
190 to 1.
He's been there a couple of times, so maybe he'll know to separate it, and maybe him and Tiny and the kids have a house, and everyone else has another house or something. But he can play well.
So let's go. Scott, you go first. Give me your three picks.
Well, I already threw Hovland out there. I got to commit to that.
You got Hovland.
I like Waco, 31.
Ooh, I like that.
And if we're going long shot, I'm looking past Jake Knapp, starting with Phil.
I'm going to do like a DraftKings thing now.
You know, let's see what Nick Dunlop can do. I mean, a real raw rookie. Has he played it? He didn't play it. He hasn't won.
I'm a little hesitant on him, but it would not surprise me to see him throw a low number one day. I mean, it's pretty wide open off the tee there. And
there's been a lot of rookies have success.
We got Jeff Curl. You think Jeff Curl's making the trek to the Masters?
He's not on the bag anymore.
No, but like just to hang out.
Oh, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, he might be.
But that's the part. That's the rookie, the fanfare.
Okay, Scott Riley, Victor Hovland, Waco Neiman, and
Nick Dunlop.
That's a nice long shot.
I think that's absolutely terrible lineup.
I think it's a terrible card. Terrible card. I agree with you. Waco, I'm okay with. I don't know. Josh, you're next.
We're going McIlroy.
Okay.
We're going Adam Scott. Mm. And we're going Grayson Murray.
Ooh, you animal.
I like that.
Grayson Murray at 550 to 1. I'll tell you what.
It's not like that's. He might not win, but he could have a good week and finish top five. What's his top five at?
I couldn't agree more.
I'll go.
I don't want to say it because he's my friend, but I'm going to say it because I can't help it. He's dumb enough to do it, dude. He is.
I think if he 100% wins, he'd be quite all right with that comment.
But he's got the talent 100%. Without a doubt, dude, that guy's got a ton of gas in the tank. It's just, do you believe you can win the Masters? And I think he, most guys do, but I think he really believes it.
I'm going Koepka, Cam, and Justin Rose as my little Ella. I'd like to have five though.
Koepka, Cam, and Justin Rose. Wow, you're okay. So 90 to 1 is your long shot, which is fine.
But if you know you're doing the DraftKings thing where you got to try and fit to the salary, I'd be doing, Kirk. Charles Schwartzel's another one. Like, he's been playing decent. All right, let's have a bet.
Okay, what do you want? Top 10?
But he's been playing decent these living events. Whatever.
All right, I'll give you 13.5.
He'll finish top 20.
15.5.
All right. He's finishing top 15.
All right, deal. Straight up bet.
Yeah.
For 100.
50. I'm not that confident.
All right, 50.
I can't.
All right, let me give you my picks real quick. I like Matsuyama, 31 to 1. That's what we have him at. I'm going to take Jason Day as well, at 46 to 1, and then I'm going to take. I don't know how his form is here, and I could probably Google it, but I'm going to take Keegan Bradley. At 190 to 1.
I just watched the episode of the Full Swing last night of the Ryder Cup. From what the stuff that we talked about, the
he
boys
got
club,
so fucked. I watched it. We watched it in here.
Yeah,
times ten. From what I thought,
that was horse shit.
And obviously, we're all friends, decent friends with some of these people, but from that made it worse.
Oh,
the Netflix thing.
I'm with you.
I was, there's the one they didn't talk about is the one I thought. Like, I thought Keegan, but I also was an advocate that Justin Lucas. Thomas had six weeks to get ready, and he's a talented player and flipping the switch. The one I didn't think was Sam Burns, and I'm nothing against him.
Right.
But the fact that Keegan Bradley missed that and to watch him on the phone, man, I almost shed a tear for the man myself. Fucking shattering.
It made for great TV.
I can't believe how well he handled everything. Like, the guy has gone so far up in my books because
Since day one, I've been a massive Keegan fan. I love that guy. He's competitive. He's like tailor-made for the Ryder Cup. I don't know. How in the world you pass that guy up? They should give him a spot right now for Bethpage. They really should.
But going back to the theory of there should be 12, I'm not 12, I'm 10 to two picks.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I'm confirming that too.
Yeah, I'm with you. We got to take the politics out of this. Well, and then the lobbying up to it. Like, I mean, Keegan did zero. He did zero lobbying.
Yeah.
And that seems
he won. He won.
Yeah, that was his lobbying.
He was letting his game speak for himself. The way they presented it, it made it feel exactly like we thought, that Zach Johnson was bullied into making these picks. I mean, he's besties with these guys
too. Like, they may have handpicked that. Like, there's three times that JT and that stayed in the house and joked. So, knowing the way the world is, maybe Netflix did that on purpose. So now I think it's
Ten. Sure, they created the narrative, but that was also
myself again.
You know, reality isn't too far from the truth. Mm. You know, and the way that they directed,
but they pitted
it
as Justin Thomas against Keegan Bradley. That wasn't the case necessarily. There was six picks. Spieth needed a pick. Ricky needed a pick. I guess they focused on them too, but I didn't see Sam Burns on there.
I thought that dinner was so fucking awkward too.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so... Have you seen this episode?
I haven't watched any of it this season.
It's the only...
It's way better. The first season I thought was a poo, but this season's been good. Like, there's some cringe moments, but it's hard. You're having dinner and they stick a camera
there.
Yeah,
I can only imagine.
I don't want to judge
it's
because...
It's got to be weird.
Yeah, you're trying to have a conversation. There's...
All right, Jordan, now it's your turn to say something.
Well, Billy,
be funny.
The other thing is we found this out, Josh, through Billy. They film like 20 guys, and you might not make the cut, like, to get on season. So
Billy
had cameras following him around all last year, and they didn't make an episode about it.
They went to, like, one of Skylar's cheer competitions. It was really interesting that...
Oh, I heard the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
At least, it's cool that Netflix is... That's why they, I think, are good, because they're not hamstrung.
Yeah.
There's 20 stories, and they pick 8, 9. Yeah. But
It's just so weird walking around a tournament, and you see them all over the place.
Yeah, they are. Getting back to my Keegan pick, though, do you like that?
Yes.
I kind of like that this week. High draw... I mean, he's just a high hitter. A decent putting week from him. He's flying 190-1, dude. That guy's
190-1. That's crazy. Like every other week, no, not even close.
190-1, Keegan Bradley. I'm not even sure these odds are correct. Like, that's how shocking that is to me. Maybe some juiced odds here.
Blame the internet.
That sounds right.
The internet.
Neil Shipley coming
what
in.
What about Lucas Glover? Disrespected 430-1.
Oh,
if he putts well, you know he's going to hit nicely from tee to green.
I like the prop bets from this week. The highest score shot, because you go to the guys who it used to be Sandy Lyle, and I don't think he's playing anymore. But now
this
got
to be the highest prop bet tournament by a million.
You
miles.
Got Santiago De La Fuente and Neil Shipley. I have no idea who those dudes are. Jasper Stubbs.
Stuart Haugestad playing in what is this, like, his fifth or sixth Masters?
Yeah.
God, that guy
is a staple.
That guy needs to turn pro. Like, Jesus, like, how many times do you want to win these amateur, like, mid-am events? Right.
Sounds honestly. Like as many times as you can.
Billy Madison.
Yeah, that ain't cool.
Yeah.
Just keeps dunking on the club championship.
Yeah, like,
nobody has a shot.
I'm the Tiger Woods of mid-ams.
Yeah.
He is.
I'm going to get my mid-am status and take him on.
Haven't they made
he
it
will
easier
thrash
to
me,
get...
by the way. He will thrash
right?
me.
Haven't they made it easier to get your mid-am status back or your am status back?
I don't know. But I know I can get it tomorrow. It's the maximum you ever have to sit out is 5 years. I've already sat out 5 years.
Mm. Did you watch any of the women's basketball game the other night? The Iowa LSU?
Did you read my mind? I have never watched a women's basketball game, but my father-in-law is in town, and he wanted to watch it because of that girl.
Well, I'll tell you what. I wanted to watch it because there was nothing else on TV.
She's a freaking stud.
And there's no other sports on TV that night. And those two teams, that Angel Reese girl, like, waved, like,
yeah,
pointed
to
her ring.
Yeah, I wanted to see the rematch.
Like, yeah, I wanted to see the rematch, and that Caitlin Clark fucking cooked up
LSU. It was
unbelievable.
And I love that coach for LSU.
I do too.
She's spicy as hell.
Yeah, but she was like, she's like Steph Curry out there, man.
I mean, from the logo. I mean, mm-hmm. What did she hit? 9 threes or something nuts?
It was nuts. I mean, right from
after
the
halftime. So I wasn't paying attention. Then halftime, I think it was 45-45. And then, boom, she just kept nailing three.
Did you see the big three? Is it the big three? Is that the name of the league?
Oh, the 3v3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever that
$5 million?
Yeah, a $5 million offer for her to play in that, in a 3v3 men's league. These are like, I'm breaking this down for pricey. These are like, you know, ex NBA players, like 1 or 2 years, 3, 4 years out of the league. Yes.
Who owns that?
Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they offered her $5 million. What do you think? Do you think she should join?
Of course.
Really?
No one in the NBA gets paid. WNBA gets paid.
Right. That would be the reason.
She's only 6 feet, right?
I don't know if she's even that tall, but I don't. Man, some of those guys are pretty big.
It doesn't
dudes.
Matter. Like Ice Cube's not that. Like those guys are freaking. If they're not smart, the people behind them are so smart. Like they're branding, they'd make it back in 10 seconds.
Was this supposed to be like just side hustle, and she can keep playing in the WNBA, or she would have
probably?
To
okay, why wouldn't she take it?
Yeah, I agree.
But it goes on during the WNBA season, though.
Oh, it does.
That was the kicker.
Yeah, I'd play the 3v3 and take the $5 million. How much money is she going to make in the WNBA? What's a max contract?
I have no clue.
I have no idea. All right, let's talk about it. Let's change subjects.
I know that women don't go to Not enough women go to WNBA.
More important.
Games. That's what I know.
I have my sport.
apparently, it's a man's problem.
What's going on with Puff Daddy?
Oh boy.
That's going to explode, surely.
There have been whispers for years.
Good.
Have you seen all the stuff that's come out?
Yes, like the videos.
See, Mike
Tyson?
He's on the couch with Mike Tyson. Like, he put his hand on him. He's trying to put his hand under Mike Tyson's ass. This is like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And Tyson like grabs his hand.
How about those weird videos with the kids in them? And he's like, tell them I'm your guardian.
He's like the new Michael Jackson.
Yes. It's messed up. Our childhood is, you know. I thought Michael Jackson was like the best ever.
I tell you who wouldn't like this. Biggie Smalls. He wouldn't be proud.
No, he wouldn't.
He went into that shit. No way.
Have you gone down a hole? Because I'm just...
You have?
I have not. I've just seen headlines and...
Well, the head
well,
of...
Well, the other night at baseball practice, Melanie Toole told me she went down a rabbit hole and she filled me in on what's going on
there's
in
a lot of evidence,
camp, and it ain't good.
What was the guy that did the interview with Shannon Sharp? A few months ago, and they were a bit juiced up. That guy was
Cat Williams.
Talking all about it.
Talking about,
There's been
whispers.
That escalated the investigation for sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm a big 50 Cent fan. Like, hearing him talk.
Got shot 9 times.
No, I'm serious. Turn them shits up. I got shot in the ear 9 times. Remember that Chappelle Show episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's more to come on that for sure. So I guess the head of Universal, one of the music companies that's linked to Taylor Swift. I don't know, because then you get on the internet and then all these crazy people on the left, crazy people on the right just start going down, like, I don't know, associations, and who knows if shit's true. But, you know, where there's smoke, there's normally fire. P. Daddy's Diddy Daddy Puffy.
He's cooked, man. Finally, yeah. Got him.
Got him.
You know, we went through all this, and we didn't talk any Tiger Woods.
Oh, Tiger! He's playing this week.
He's in the field.
Hey, he just went up and had a practice round with Justin Thomas, his buddy.
Shocker.
Where's his odds?
He is way down there.
Yeah, he can't win.
No, he can't win.
I'd love to prove me wrong.
But how do we think?
I am questioning these odds right now.
They were fresh from this morning.
I know what
you're
thinking, Matt. You're looking at them thinking an opportunity.
I am. I mean, these 190 to, like, Siwoo Kim at 190 to 1 on here.
He could win it.
100% he could win that tournament. I'd take Siwoo and Keegan at 100 to 1. We're getting basically double that on this sheet.
It is a tournament that you
fire up the website here.
You do get excited for. Never fails.
No.
First major of the year, longest gap between majors. Even a longer gap now. When's the British Open? July? It used to be August, so now an extra month gap.
No, because we got the PGA.
PGA's in May, but the longest gap between majors. So British Open's in July, and then
you're
April.
Defending, well,
I so mean, it's 1 month more than it used to be.
Harman with a chance to go back-to-back just 6 months later.
That's a good point. I'm not saying no either.
He can do it too, especially after now winning the Open.
He
won't be scared.
I picked him to win the Players this year, and he damn near did, dude.
He still flies under the radar.
Yeah, well,
he's a small man.
He's pretty freaking good.
He's every week.
He's the I know he went to Georgia, but he's just the definition of a
people need more pictures of him in Big Country, like Brian.
His caddy is nuts. His caddy
6'5" and Big Country's probably 6'5".
His caddy's Scott Tway, dear friend of mine. I went to dinner at Dwight's with Scott Tuesday of that week. But he, brother all Bob time, Tway. Brother Bob Tway, a couple of Oklahoma State guys, all time.
Uncle
human.
Of Kevin Tway. Uncle.
Yeah, Uncle of Kevin Tway. But Scott's the coolest one in that group, not even close.
But yeah, that just he's such a, it's like. It's
I was
like,
with him the night I got arrested.
You've been arrested?
He'd left.
Like there, is
he
there
had
a
nothing
mugshot?
To do with it.
Do you have a mugshot?
I never saw it. Thank God. My eyes were probably pointing cross-eyed. I'd had a few. Yeah. But it was, Matty Kelly was there. And, well, Scott had gone home. I don't want to drag him in. We were just having beers and he left at 10.
Yeah.
No, I clearly didn't leave at 10.
Well.
So that's it. Next subject.
I want to talk before we get.
I did have my best year on tour that year. After that, that was the most humbling experience. It was good.
Do you think?
That's why I'm getting punched in the face.
So this collection of like, I'm diehard into collecting cards now. Like it's full on addiction. And my buddy Scott Toole and I are in it big time. The card market has gone up so much since is COVID really is what it's done. But my question to you is, do you think golf cards will ever make like a, I know we have Tiger Woods rookie cards and stuff like that, and those carry a ton of weight, but I'm talking about like next year
modern
or like
cards.
This year, the Ludwig Aubert rookie card on card auto or a Justin Thomas checkerboard, you know, signed on card auto. Are these things in the future that you think could take off like a football? No?
No, I think it's too niche. Like, the stuff that picks up is what the masses want. The masses don't want golf cards.
Really?
It's fun for us just to open it up and rip, but I think you're wasting your money if you're buying it as a crazy investment. But then again, that's my motto. Just buy what you like, what you like. And if you like golf cards, buy golf cards.
Mm-hmm.
But not because you think it's going to.
Well, I think 10X. golf is so absolute because you know who the best player is, right? Like, it's different because you can have a favorite team that has a player that you can argue that is just as good of a receiver as the other team. So it's you're really just chasing one guy, and that's Tiger Woods as a collectible.
Yeah, I guess what I mean is like football now, I mean, you could fire up a stream at night on Whatnot, which, by the way, I'm getting ready to do if you listen to this. Tool and I are getting ready to have a stream on Whatnot. We will be doing breaks, auctions, and repacks, and it is going to be a fucking blast. Stay tuned. Anyways.
You're talking a bit.
Getting back to the golf stuff. I see the market in football now. You go online at night and You could have it. A break will fill in 20 minutes, dude. I mean, for pretty much anything on there. You think that's just a football, the three big sports, football, baseball, basketball, or
just take your kids' classroom. Okay. 25, 30 kids in the class. What are their moms and dads watching on a Sunday?
Yeah, football.
They're watching football Saturday and
Sunday. Dads are watching football.
How many of them are actually watching golf?
Yeah.
Well, I saw a stat the other day that the lowest ranked football game was still more than the Masters.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. But that's crazy. Sports, basically. Football trumps everything.
And then it's your kids. Your kids are getting into it because their little friends at school are into collecting. They bring it up to dad.
Yeah,
it rekindles dad's memory from 19.
Exactly, and I'm coming from my angle right now. I'm 40. Maybe this could be a midlife crisis. I feel like I've been in one for like 10 years.
That's admission is the first step.
You're probably
going to
live to 60.
But
so
listen,
you're past
might be a midlife.
It might be, but
post midlife.
It's good for you. You're connecting with your son too. It's a great activity to do.
And I also
together.
Know. I also know. Like, I can't be. If I'm addicted to this, and I definitely have an addictive personality, I can't be the only one that's addicted to this, dude. I know there's millions.
I think half the world has an addictive personality.
Are addicted to this. And most guys now that are my age, they play golf, dude. They do.
They're getting into it, but there's more guys cooking out on their green egg. And watching football and drinking beer.
Okay, well, let me tell you this. We've had guys sit on that couch before, maybe not on air, but I've talked to them. Middle of the road PGA Tour players, okay? Middle of the road. Telling me, who carries golf now? Is it Upper Deck or Panini?
Panini, but it's only Live Golf.
Well, Upper Deck or Select Upper Deck or something is carrying a golf line, and they're paying these guys like $50,000 for 500 signatures. Man, I mean, are you kidding me? Like,
that
tells clearly
me,
they're banking.
That tells
on
me it's coming. Yeah,
that they're banking on something because, like, Billy has told me what he's been paid, and it is, it's. I the business, if there's nothing there, they're just flushing money down the toilet.
I will say this. The market on collectibles, not sports cards, has gone absolutely crazy with Golden Age auctions, the old green jacket auctions, Ryan Carey's thing. Man, the stuff that they're selling and what it brings in is mind-blowing. And that's putters, collectibles, like trinkets, coffee mugs.
I bought for, is it Gibbo that likes Beau Bouchette?
No, that's me. Yeah, a little bit.
I got a Beau Bichette PSA 9 rookie card. But by the way, Beau Bichette had 3 fucking errors in his first game the other day for the.
He didn't play the other game I watched.
Well, opening day, he was a total chop. Might as well flush that card. You can have that card now.
Worried too much about his hair.
Yeah, that's a. Oh, we're not done yet. I got another thing to rant on. Little League baseball. I will kind of hair. Well, he was talking about hair, but. Yeah. The other day, we were having kids on our travel team, like, show up with face paint and these big glasses, and they're dropping pop flies. And I'm like, coach, can you just say something, like, after the game? Like, hey, guys, if we're going to be dropping routine pops, we can't have face paint or wear these glasses. Like, that's – we got to earn these.
I agree with that. And no elbow pads, no padding, no sliding gloves.
Oh, my God.
Just show – I'm fine with eye black. I mean, just –
If you're playing under lights.
But yeah, no shades. You know, golf memorabilia, just kind of sussing this out here. I'm more attracted to stuff like that, Chang. You know, I don't think a card. It's so easy to find something that's actually touched the game, like, you know, scorecards. I mean, some of the stuff we have hanging up in here, flags with autographs on them, like
memorabilia has gone through. I saw that David Wells the other day had a. Yeah, 20 years ago.
Story.
Did you see that?
The Babe Ruth.
The Babe Ruth hat, $35,000, paid $2,000 fine, then sold for $530,000. Now that Babe Ruth hat's probably worth, I don't know, a lot more. But even the Tiger Woods clubs, the Steve Marta, they end up going for like $12 million, or I don't know what it was, but it's crazy how much people are playing for memorabilia at the moment.
That's one of those almost sort of regrettable mistakes, but I don't really regret it. It was either going to be buying a backup Scotty Cameron Tiger backup, not that it was ever his backup, it's right around the same time, 8,000, 9,000, or buying that one that I bought, the beryllium copper. Well, now the one's worth like $30,000 to $40,000, and the other one's easily worth $179,000 to $240,000, because that's what they're
you
selling
had a shot
for.
At Tigers,
yeah, it was you're buying either one, because they were only getting up to $10,000 at the time.
Have you parted way with any of your stuff? Have you retraded?
No, there's so much of it still. I mean, if someone really, 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 really wants something, it's a close friend, and then they have to go sign a little thing saying I have first right of refusal when you go sell it to buy it back for what you paid for it. Yeah, I might do it, because then they're basically just leasing it from me. But
look
I,
at
don't,
the term,
I don't like
look
to
at the
get
Josh's
rid of it.
Terms and conditions.
I don't like to get rid of
sketchy
stuff.
He's got this shit dialed in. I love it.
My favorite piece.
So you don't part ways.
I mean,
hasn't had the right offer.
I just love it. Yeah. Because again, it's my thing. I like it. If I sell it, I'm gonna regret it 6 months, 7 months, 8 months later, and then you want to buy it back? Yeah, now it's another 25% on top of what I sold it for. What did I do with the money that I sold it for? Nothing.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just have it.
Well, I love the obscure, and I was going to say one of my favorite pieces of memorabilia from the Masters is I got to go in 21, which was a COVID year, and got a Masters COVID mask.
That's pretty sick.
So just
those were hard to get. Those were going for $300 on eBay during green ones.
Yeah.
That was in
I lost mine. Can you give me another?
Especially if you got it during November. Before all of the
that's when
employees
it was
got it.
Yeah,
you went in November
first.
No, I had a buddy kicked it down.
Well, the next April though was still masks because I went up with Nate and we went and it was awesome. It was only 25% crowd in 21.
No grandstands.
But they kept Nate. You know, we're pulling him down to talk, and that guy must have got told 5 times a hole to put his mask up. In the end, he's just like, "What the fuck.
That was my most fun year to go.
It was unbelievable. There was no one behind.
No one around. Yeah. You could get from the back, the aiming corner, all the way to the front in about 15
behind
minutes.
The 12th tee.
You could just fly.
Well, behind the 12th tee, there was no one.
That was the year I actually had more badges than I had any other year because your close friends that work there or they, you know, pick up trash, clean the bathrooms for a week, they had them and they're just like, hey, I can trust you with these. This is the year you don't screw up.
That was so cool. I mean, you could see into the whole course from like the top of the clubhouse down. Because things were typically blocked. Like you could see down 18 fairway into 10 green into. It was
that was
pretty
amazing.
Surreal.
And then the next year I went up because Cam was in the last group, and it was the complete opposite.
Most packed, because what happened was there were a couple years where people won badges. It rained out, so when it rains out, they typically will reissue those same patrons. Right. They'll take half of the allotment that year, and then the next half the following year. So when people said, hey, it's back. It was the busiest I've ever seen it.
I did not enjoy it that day. I couldn't get anywhere. Couldn't see anything.
Hour and a half just to get in the pro shop. People wanting to buy those gnomes.
Unbelievable. Let's put a bow on this thing. I mean, and thanks for coming in. And
yeah, thanks.
It's always a blast. It's fun.
Major season is here. It's
thank God.
Spring is here. Yeah, golf is back. We're excited. Yeah, that's all I got. Thanks, boys.
See you. Sweet. See you. Thanks.